ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. There are two kinds of Bhagavatas. One is the Grantha Bhagavat and the other is the first one Bhagavat. And Srila Prabhupada was the first one Bhagavat. And that way Srila Prabhupada was non-different from Grantha Bhagavat. Actually, the Grantha Bhagavat becomes, the book Bhagavat becomes personified in the devotees. So we read today from, in every town and village, Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita volume 4, chapter 8, in every town and village. London, August 1971. From Florida, this remote corner of the world, Prabhupada returned to New York and after three days flew to London. There he became ill. On August 14, he wrote to Kamal Krishna, "I am sick here since last 4 days. There is no sunshine. Almost always there is darkness and rain. So it has affected my health because I am already rheumatic." Prabhupada said he wanted to retire from traveling and management. Quote, "This body is old, it is giving warning," unquote. But he didn't have sufficient confidence that his leading managers could push on without his pushing them. Prabhupada complained to his secretary, Sam Sundar, criticizing him and other zonal secretaries for not producing and distributing his books on a large scale. Quote, "Why are there no books?" unquote, Prabhupada demanded, and Shyam Sundar cringed, unable to give a satisfactory answer. Shyam Sundar said he would immediately write to his godbrothers on the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. "Why have you a book trust?" Prabhupada argued. "What have they done? There is no stock of big books. There are no literatures in foreign languages after years of promises and plans. Why hasn't the unabridged Bhagavad Gita as it is been printed yet?" Well, Shyam Sundar replied, "Because they," Srila Prabhupada, "no, it's your responsibility." Prabhupada yelled, "Why haven't you done it?" Prabhupada chastised his judicial secretaries around the world to the one secretary before him. The GBC's duties were to see that Prabhupada's books were always in stock, that Bhakti-Bharat magazine was being published regularly, that accounts were being paid regularly, and that the accounts were being paid regularly, and that the devotional life in temple were healthy. "Our business is how to expand," said Prabhupada. "How to introduce Krishna consciousness into educational circles. Let any philosopher, scientist or educationist come. We have got enough stock. But this sleeping, this leisurely work will not do. They can learn activity from an old man like me, because my determination is like this. If I die working, it is a great credit. Just like a marshal, if he dies on the battlefield, it's his credit. Arjuna was told, even if you die, you are still the gainer. Process of printing is the most condemned position. Why should I go on translating when you cannot print? You say, retire and translate. But why should I translate? No one will ever see it. I can give you volumes. There is Dainikon, who will print in Japan on credit. So why don't you print? Always, it is to be done. It is to be done. That's all." So always you are saying that this is to be done, this is to be done. That's all. And big man complaining, either he goes or I go. That's the devotees are fighting, so they complain. Either he goes or I go. Certainly. This restlessness, this diversion has to stop. When the father is providing, it is the duty of the son to serve. I'm the father, I'm giving you everything. Why don't you serve me by printing this book? If one book only is read and understood, that is sufficient to make him Krishna conscious. Don't you see how important it is? They're always asking me, quote, is such and such book bona fide? Unquote. They can't even take the time to read one of my books, and still they ask for one of my god brother's books. How will things go on? First canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is not even edited or corrected. What to speak of printed? So many books unprinted. So tell them, from the book fund, not a farthing should be for eating. One day Advaita, the manager of ISKCON Press, called from New York with some good news. In a week, they would be sending Dhanipan the negatives of 5 big books. ISKCON Press had also sent a shipment of the German Ishopanishad to Europe, and other foreign language books were forthcoming. Prabhupada was pleased, and Shamsundar informed his CBC God brothers. Needless to say, this was just a medicine required to treat Prabhupada's slackening state in us. Things are looking up, but still Prabhupada encourages us all to write up these reports and get a clear all-around picture of the total book situation. Although Prabhupada's health was still weak, he felt heartened to hear that his books were being printed, and he continued with his translation and commentary of Srimad Bhagavatam. Ranshaw, he is reminiscing. One night I was up very late, 1 o'clock in the morning. As I came in, I saw that Prabhupada's lights were on in his front room, and I could hear his voice speaking into the dictating machine. I came up the stairs, being as quiet as I could, as I possibly could, so Prabhupada wouldn't know that I was up so late. But as I passed his door, I couldn't resist the temptation to just stop and listen for a while. I tried looking through the keyhole, but I couldn't see anything. So I just listened to Prabhupada. I just listened to Prabhupada's voice as he was dictating Srimad Bhagavatam. Then all of a sudden he stopped. I suppose he was just thinking about what he was going to say next. But then I got the feeling that he knew I was there, listening through the door. I became frightened and went up the stairs as quietly as I could, although the stairs creaked. Everyone was asleep. Not only the temple, but practically the whole city of London, at 1 o'clock in the morning. But Prabhupada was awake and translating. He had been speaking quietly, but with a voice of great strength and determination. All during the day, he was under pressure to organize things and see people, and yet at night, the one time when he could have some peace and quiet, he was up dictating. In London, Prabhupada began a book on the Western philosophers, beginning with Socrates. Every morning, Shamsundar would present a synopsis of major philosophy to Prabhupada, and for several hours, Prabhupada would discuss the philosopher's major points from the light of Krishna consciousness. Daily, Shamsundar was busy transcribing the morning discussions and preparing the next philosopher. this book, such a wonderful contribution to the world. Sri Satsurup Maharaj has undoubtedly have done an enormous service for this world by writing this Lilamrita. And it's so vivid we can see that how Krishna empowers his devotees to perform his mission. And it's very important that we always take shelter of Srila Prabhupada's books and read Prabhupada's biography. Actually, this is the most important book. Prabhupada used to say that Bhagavad Gita is the high school course, school living course. Srimad Bhagavatam is the graduation, and Chaitanya Charitamrita is the master's degree course. And I was just thinking that Prabhupada Lilamrita is actually even beyond that, because the closer we come to the devotees that have, or the Lord's presentation of Krishna consciousness, or Lord's arrangements to present Krishna consciousness, more profound becomes our understanding. Bhagavad Gita is the day, actually in Bhagavad Gita Krishna has very clearly explained his position, but he did not very elaborately explain his identity. It was he was kind of embarrassed naturally to reveal his identity to the fullest extent. But that has been done in Bhagavatam. When the devotees spoke about Krishna, then Krishna's identity became more magnified. And then in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Krishna himself came as a devotee and the way he performed, then the entire Bhagavatam became personified through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The entire Bhagavatam became manifest in the personality of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then when Prabhupada came and he presented Krishna consciousness the way he preached it all over the world, and that is the perfection of following the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a perfect example of following the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we can understand Krishna to some extent through Bhagavad Gita. We can Krishna even more profoundly through Srimad Bhagavatam. We can understand Srimad Bhagavatam completely through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we can understand Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his mission perfectly through Srila Prabhupada. So that's why Sri Prabhupada Lilamrita is so important. That's why it's so important for us to meditate on Srila Prabhupada. Because in Prabhupada's personality, in Prabhupada's activities, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission has become perfectly manifest. And it's also very important to be reminded of Srila Prabhupada's mission. Like, other than reading this book, I'm sure everyone could see that why our society was suffering so much in the past few years. Because book distribution and book printing practically stopped. Book distribution was going on just for the name's sake. It was not book distribution. Either the books were distributed by some unfair means, the books were distributed, and people became so disgusted that what to talk about reading the books, even in spite of buying the books, they threw the books away. In America, many places it happened, especially in the airports. I heard that devotees would pester the people so much to buy a book, just to get rid of the devotees, they would just pay some money, take the book, and then they throw the book away. So what's the point in that kind of book distribution? Obviously, Prabhupada didn't want that kind of book distribution. Prabhupada didn't want us to earn money out of the book. Prabhupada wanted this book should go out so that Krishna consciousness can spread. And another thing that we did in the name of book distribution. We sold various things. Instead of selling the books directly, we sold various paraphernalia, and then the money that came, a part of it was given to BVT, and we got the book credits, and then the books were just given out against the book credits. The money was earned by different paraphernalia selling, and then the books were given out free as they got the credit from the BVT. So that's not the kind of book distribution Prabhupada wanted. Prabhupada wanted us to preach through the book distribution. The purpose of book distribution is that people take the books, read the books, and become devotees. So we have to be very, very particular about that objective. And it's very important that when we give the books, our behavior should be so exemplary that people will automatically become interested to read the book. They should feel, these people are so nice. Let us find out what made them so nice. That is the purpose of book distribution. The devotee's life is a perfect example. Devotee's behavior is preaching in itself. They behave in such a way that when people come in contact, they immediately become impressed by them. Now we know the sign of a Uttam Adhikari is just by seeing him, people keep chanting. People feel like chanting Hare Krishna. And seeing, what does this seeing mean? Seeing means seeing their behavior, the way they act. That is so impressive that people immediately take to Krishna consciousness. That is the sign of Uttam Adhikari Krishna. And we actually have to try to become Uttam Adhikari Krishna. Our behavior should be so exemplary that people should immediately become impressed. We must realize that we have come to Krishna consciousness not to make money. We have come here to become devotees ourselves and make the whole world into devotees. Prabhupada emphasized book printing and book distribution so much, and anyone who knows Prabhupada knows how fiery a personality Prabhupada used to be. When Prabhupada got angry, the whole world actually began to tremble. So, even I have seen Prabhupada a few days before he left this planet. Not a few days, it was about a couple of weeks before he left the planet. And he got angry with me. And he was bedridden and he practically didn't eat anything for 2 months. But his voice was so loud that the whole room started to shake. So that is how fiery a personality Srila Prabhupada was. And when Prabhupada got angry, you can see the result of Prabhupada's anger. Prabhupada was angry that the books were not being printed, books were not being distributed. And he pointed out that how uselessly everyone was wasting his time by eating and sleeping. And then, as a result of Prabhupada's anger, or Prabhupada's outburst of Prabhupada's anger, 5 volumes of books just came out like that, for printing. Prabhupada completed Chaitanya Charitamrita in 3 months' time, 17 volumes in 3 months' time. Painting, translating, editing, everything was done in 3 months' time. So we can see what a remarkable personality Srila Prabhupada was, and we actually are so fortunate to be linked with him somehow or another. Some of us are his sons and daughters, and some are his grandchildren, but we all have a relationship with Srila Prabhupada. And it's actually such a glorious relationship. It's like being related to someone very, very great. Actually, we do not know how great Srila Prabhupada is. We have a vague concept of Prabhupada's greatness. but we do not actually know how great Srila Prabhupada is. And as a matter of fact, with time, Prabhupada's identity will be revealed. That we see, we notice that when a great personality comes, a real great spiritual personality comes, generally people can't recognize them. We have seen when Jesus came, he was so badly misunderstood that people even crucified him. But with time, Jesus' greatness has become obvious. So the same way, Prabhupada's greatness was not appreciated when Prabhupada was present. Only a handful of people, handful of fortunate souls, could recognize Prabhupada, appreciate his greatness, and take advantage of Srila Prabhupada's presence on this planet. But most of the people could not recognize Prabhupada. Especially in India, he was not at all recognized. When I used to serve Prabhupada, I often used to wonder that the people are going to lament after Prabhupada leaves this planet. Then people would lament that, oh, such a great personality came and blessed this world, but in spite of having the opportunity, I couldn't meet him. They will lament when Prabhupada is gone, and I'm seeing that how they are lamenting now. So often I hear people say, I saw that a big program was going on and he was present there at the time, but unfortunately I couldn't go and have his darshan. They sincerely lament like that, but actually they are unfortunate that they could not, in spite of having this wonderful opportunity, they could not take advantage of such a great personality's appearance on this planet. But still they are fortunate that now they are realizing their misfortune of not being able to meet him. And as the time passes by, people will become more and more aware of Prabhupada's greatness. We can well imagine how Prabhupada will be recognized, say, 100 years from now. All over the world people will sing his glory, and they will envy us that, these are the great people who came in direct contact, or they appeared so soon after his appearance on this planet. Now we have to become very fixed up to establish our relationship with Srila Prabhupada. Now that is the onus we have. That now let us become related to Srila Prabhupada. And how does one become related to a great devotee? By following his instructions. Prabhupada's instructions are there. His instructions are very, very simple. His instructions are follow the four regulative principles, chant at least 16 rounds a day, and render devotional service. He also gave us the instruction that the foundation of this movement is his books. Books are the basis, and we must try to spread Krishna consciousness and practice our Krishna consciousness on that basis, on the basis of his books, not on the basis of sentiment or any other material consideration. And if we do that, then I'm sure we will be able to receive Srila Prabhupada's mercy. And the mercy of the pure devotee of the Lord is the most important criterion for going back to Godhead. We all must try to become pure devotees, and pure devotees means following Srila Prabhupada's instructions without any material motivation. ISKCON had gone through a lot of difficulties in the past few years, and those difficulties actually took place because of our deviation from Srila Prabhupada's instruction. Not only the society suffered, practically every individual was affected by this deviation to a greater or lesser extent. But now we are realizing our mistakes, and now practically all the senior devotees are very much concerned about the welfare of the movement, and they are trying their level best to sort out this, eliminate that deviation and come back to the straight line, where the only objective would be to follow Srila Prabhupada's instruction as they are. And if we read Prabhupada's books, then everything becomes crystal clear. Especially our deviation becomes crystal clear. And anyway, now that we realize, everyone should try to rectify himself and try to help the entire society to become fixed up in Srila Prabhupada's ideals, and try to do whatever little we can, try to contribute whatever little we can towards the unity and integrity of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We must remember, in the age of Kali, we are in the age of Kali, and this age is a very, very dangerous age. And Kali spreads his influence through quarrel. And we must guard ourselves against fighting with each other. It's very easy to get into a fight in this age. And as we fight with each other, we become weaker and weaker. Our energy, instead of being projected externally for spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world, we will just waste it internally fighting with each other. So under all circumstances, we must avoid any kind of conflict with any member of the society. If the fight becomes so imminent, then just leave that place. Avoid it, but don't indulge in it. So that's the most important thing I feel. To protect ourselves and protect ISKCON from any kind of internal damage or injury. Prabhupada often remarked that nothing can destroy this society from outside, but it can be destroyed only from inside. Kali doesn't have, or anybody doesn't have, any power to destroy Mahaprabhu's movement. Is the manifestation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. And nothing actually has the power to destroy it. But only if the devotees start fighting among themselves and deviate from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, then only this movement can be destroyed. We have seen how Gaudiya Math became destroyed. During Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's time, Gaudiya Math was a roaring movement. All over India they were spreading Krishna consciousness in a gorgeous, gorgeous way. You can well imagine they had 64 temples at that time, whereas ISKCON only has about 14 temples in India. But they had about 64 temples in India. And not only that, I mean, they had all kinds of. And even those days, they had buses and steamers to propagate their mission, Krishna consciousness. But now, what do we see of Gaudiya Math?
just a few temples with a few devotees, practically no preaching. Right? So why? How come they became so weak? How come they lost the potency that was actually thriving, that was actually bubbling at one time and could very easily take over the world if they followed the instructions of the spiritual master? But Gaudiya Math collapsed. Why? Because they started to fight internally. And when they started to fight internally, they just... Now, although they are at least carrying on with their Krishna consciousness, but they lost their potency. And the Gaudiya Math, the branch, the practically all the branches of the tree has withered, or somehow struggling to survive. But one branch has come out, and the main tree is actually resting on that branch. And that is this ISKCON movement. Actually, Kali is always trying to destroy this movement, because Kali knows that this movement is his death. Actually, Kali is always trying to destroy this movement, because Kali knows that this movement is his death. And so Kali is struggling hard to destroy this movement. But we should never allow Kali to succeed. And we must avoid any kind of internal conflict. The unity is the most important thing. That's why Srila Prabhupada pointed out that our love for him will be shown by how we cooperate with each other. That is, the unity is the most important thing. And if we really love Prabhupada, then let us become united. Let us cooperate with each other just for the sake of Srila Prabhupada. Because it will please Prabhupada, that's why let us cooperate with each other. Cooperation is not easy, especially in this age. Cooperation means some sacrifice. And we have to sacrifice for the sake of pleasing Srila Prabhupada. And then our spiritual life will be secured, and ISKCON will be blossoming, radiating its fragrance all over the world. Not only the fragrance, the effulgence all over the world, and that will remove the darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. We have about 5 minutes for some of my questions.
Presently, there is a little controversy over some people say that Prabhupada emphasized quantity and quality was a secondary consideration. I don't know what you have to say on that. A distribution of books.
Quantity and quality. Anyway, these are the details that can be sorted out by the local authorities. Right? There's different local policies are there, and for an outside, I mean for a person who is just visiting for a few days, it's not easy to comment, and in most cases the comments will not be appropriate. So I think whatever the local policy is, you just follow that. If they say if the policy is the quantity, then if in the policy quantity is emphasized, then go for the quantity. But at the same time, try to maintain the quality also. Both should be important, considered important. I mean, if we can achieve the quantity, then I'm sure to maintain the quality also will be pretty easy. Right?
you mentioned in the reading the fruit part of the person, the fruit part of the kindness. Is it sufficient that by approaching one, or are they interdependent?
They're interrelated. Yeah. But past person, Bhagavat, is more important than Book Bhagavat. Because Book Bhagavat is manifest in person Bhagavat. But if you approach the Book Bhagavat without the person Bhagavat, you cannot understand the Book Bhagavat. Right? Mahaprabhu said, Jaho Bhagavato Paru Bhagavato Sthane. Go study Bhagavat under the direction of a person Bhagavat. Because without the person Bhagavat, Book Bhagavat will not become manifest or revealed.
As you said, the devotee should do good distribution of devotees and devotee involved in going out in Toronto.
It will depend in different places. You see, the policy, you cannot just say that one policy should be maintained all over the world. Like in some places I know that although they would very much like to do good distributions in dhotis and kursas, they can't possibly do it because there are different rest to God, you know, different considerations. Like for instance, in Russia they can't do dhotis and kursas. So we should be flexible about our policy. Whatever is favorable, we accept that, and whatever is unfavorable, we reject that. Did you raise your hand?
Mm-hmm. You were saying in the verse, we said must suffice about just making policy, by regularly hearing policy, and then being service unto the Spirit. If rendering service unto the Spirit, because it means the devotee policy.
Yeah. Devotee policy. Different policy.
Okay, you were mentioning about the quantity and quality, and seriously, the quantity without the quality is emphasized.
Mm.
But because quality wasn't there, it didn't really maintain it. And it didn't expand. Whereas if the quality is there, then eventually the quantity will come automatically because people will become inspired by Krishna consciousness and they in turn can distribute books. And eventually, then in the long run, the quantity will be.
That's true. But my point was that different places have different policies, which may not be possible for a general devotee to understand what the what policies the authorities have. So it's better to leave it up to the authority. I mean, they obviously understand that quantity without quality is not going to, produce the result. The desired result. I would say quantity and quality both should be emphasized. Prabhupada actually was very, very emphatic about quantity also. And if we emphasize in quality, then surely it becomes flat. So, well, purely I have distributed one book. So, the authorities, especially the managers of the movement, they have to push the devotee for the result. Prabhupada pushed, but that result should be produced with proper, by proper means, not by unfair means.
As you also made a reference to the Bhagavad Gita gives an understanding of the position of Krishna, but not his identity, that's what it
is. Not to that extent. Yes. Like Krishna says, Aham Sarvasya Prabhava, and here says, Sarva Dharman Paritajya, Mamana Bhavama Sattva, gives different instructions. But then again, when it comes to emphatically revealing identity, he is kind of feeling shy. That's why he's saying Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Riddeshya Arjuna Tishkati. Right? He's not saying I am situated in everybody's heart. He's saying that the Ishvara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is situated in everybody's heart. Right? So that's why in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's identity hasn't been so clearly revealed. Whereas in Bhagavatam, there is no dilly-dally, it's just in some direction. Krishna is God. Etajamsa kalapumsa, Krishna is true Bhagavan. Whereas we do not find such bold announcements in Bhagavatam. Well, but it's not to that extent. You know, like it can be considered, I mean, that's why Shankaracharya could choose the meaning. It's not quite Krishna as aham is that, you know, supreme, because you know, he said, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Vibheshwajana Krishna. And Matta Parakaram Nanyat, nothing is superior to me. When you attain that position, then because that is the absolute position, then nothing is superior to you. Right? There is room for distortion. Right? But in Bhagavatam there is no room. That's why Shankaracharya didn't touch Bhagavatam. He knew that he won't be able to fool around in Bhagavatam. Let this be the last question because I have to go.
It's a question about Devahuti. It's mentioned that in the Bhagavad Gita that the material elements of the body have melted into the water and then now are flowing over. I wonder if you could tell us which river it is. Because we're going to mention it and therefore all persons who desire perfection go and dead, sir.
This is Devahuti?
Yes.
Who is this?
It's from the Nativity of the Church.
Isn't it Bodhisara? Devahuti became a river called Bodhisara. I don't exactly remember, but vaguely I remember she actually turned into a river.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that river is called Bodhisara. Yeah.
So the location of this place is
Siddhapada.
Siddhapada.
Must be existing. Yeah, must be existing. We may not be aware of it. Siddhapada means the position of a perfected person. And that is to say that, my dear Vidura, it is known all over the three worlds as Siddhapada. It's known all over the three worlds as Siddhapada, the position of the perfected one. And the material elements of a body melted into water and are now a flowing river, which is the most sacred of all rivers. Anyone who bathes in that river also attains perfection, and therefore all persons who desire perfection go bathe there. Maybe Jari Krishna can find an answer that. I mean, it needs a little research, you know. And I'll also see if I can get some detail. I mean, if I remember, I'll actually. Or I'll write to Jari Krishna.
It would be tricky to give you a little Bhagavatam classes.
So I think I'll stop now. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you.